the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about evangelism. Is that a scary word? Evangelism? What does it even mean to evangelize? Do you picture yourself on a street corner with a big sign screaming, "Repent, repent, repent"? You know, I wish it worked that easily. I wish that that's all we had to do, was just stand and shout and the world would be changed. We know it takes more than that. We know that God can use that, I believe, that even though it may not be the way that we came to understand God, it's not the way that we see our Heavenly Father, it's not how that we understand maybe the best way to evangelize, but I believe that God can and does use all kinds of methods to reach the lost. And so the next 5 weeks, we'll give you one kind of tip a week. We'll give you one area, one thing that will encourage you. And it's really simple this week, and here it is. God wants to see the world healed and restored. You see, God wants to see the world healed and restored. If God wants that, if that's God's desire, you are not on your own. It's not you against the world. I mean, it is, but it isn't, right? You have the best coach, right? You have the best coach. You have the one with all the power. You are on the side of the one that wins, right? If God wants that, we're going to talk about today, who can stand against you? We are sometimes afraid. I am sometimes afraid to take a stand in certain environments, to say, no, that's just not the way it is. You've got this wrong. And sometimes it's not effective to say things in that way. Sometimes it is. But you have to understand that when you line up with what God wants, you are on the path to being successful. Has your life been changed? Are you a different person because of a relationship you have with the Father through Jesus? Are you who you used to be? Was the path that you were once on going to lead you to a place that wasn't good, that was not healthy, that didn't get you to where you wanted to be? Have you been impacted by the church? Were you chasing things? I know I like to set goals. If you know me, you know I have goals. If you talk to me, I'll talk to you about something in the future that we're going to do together. That's the way it is. I live in today, but today is only preparing me for tomorrow. And what we do today is important in that it gets us to a different destination. But we have to understand that we need a right relationship. We have to have a really good understanding. And Paul was communicating with the church. He was communicating with the church in Rome. And he was encouraging them to do the things that I'm going to be encouraging us to do as a church. So he asks a few questions. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, we're going to evangelize. So, we are going to share the good news. We are going to live in a way that takes us from being comfortable to a little uncomfortable. These are things that we have to do. I have a friend here today I'm seeing now that taught me a term. It's called voluntold. She's from the military. And she told me how she'd be voluntold to do this and being voluntold to do that. And it's a great term. So right now, in honor of her, you're being voluntold. Voluntold. We have a choice. We don't have a choice. You see, you witness already. You already witness. Either by how much you communicate or by not communicating. Does what you have any value? When you have something that's new and exciting and you want to share it, there's value. If you somebody was important and made a difference in your world, you talk about that. If something is of worth, what do? You talk about it. So by not sharing, what are you saying? I think we already witnessed. We want to witness rightly. So we want to explore a few things. What is the heart of the gospel? How much should we care? And then we'll get to where do we start. So what is the heart of the gospel? What are the words that come to your mind? What are the thoughts that come to your mind? You know, is it God's love? For God so loved the world. Is love the heart of the gospel? Is it the promise of eternal life? I know that's very comforting at funerals, the promise of eternal life. I know that having that out there should give us comfort and to know that we've been promised that. But is that the heart of the gospel? Is it forgiveness of your sins? Is that the heart of the gospel? The fact that you've been forgiven? That the people that don't know God in the way that we know God, that they haven't discovered yet that their sins can be forgiven? Is that the heart of the gospel? Let's look at the verses. My favorite verse, coupled with the most famous verse in the Bible. And we'll read it together here. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you know me, my favorite verse is John 3:17. If you know me, I like to live in a way, and I'm not perfect in this, that I give people second chances, that I try to look beyond their current circumstance, that I try to understand why they're doing what they're doing first. I'm not perfect in that. But I try to always ask the question, why are they doing this? What's caused them to be where they are? What are the factors surrounding this? How does this really make them feel? Are they pleased with where they are? You know, in business, there's a term called unconscious incompetence. Unconscious incompetence. Basically, it just means that sometimes your boss doesn't know what he doesn't know. Or your workers, coworkers, they don't know what they don't know. They're unconscious of the things that they don't know. And they're doing the best that they can. Yet we get angry sometimes because they don't understand like we do. They don't know what we know. And yet we hold them to that standard. Or as a church sometimes, folks come through the door and they don't dress like us. They don't talk like us. They use colorful words that aren't part of how we normally talk. We use terms like salvation. They don't know what that means. You know, righteousness. That's a turtle in a cartoon screaming, righteous, righteous. That's what they got for righteousness. They don't really see the world in the way that we do. But why are they here? Maybe they need something that you have. So for me, the key to the gospel: for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's half the key. But to save the world through him. The heart of the gospel is the act of Jesus coming here for you, for me, for them. Not condemning them because they weren't perfect, because they were sinners. Because we were not perfect, because we are sinners. But he came to save the world. So the heart of the gospel was action. Part of the gospel was, and the heart of the gospel was, he didn't just sit back and say, they are really messed up. They are sad, they're heartbroken, they're pursuing this and that's wrong, they're pursuing this and that's wrong. Haven't they read my words? Don't they know what they should be doing? He wasn't satisfied with that as his posture. No, he came. So, church, are we satisfied with the way the world around us views life? The way they view possession? What they pursue with their whole heart? Are we happy with the way they treat each other? Are we heartbroken for broken families? Are we heartbroken because they don't have the hope? That they don't understand that there's a free gift available for them? So how much should we care? I mean, we're in, right? You know, Kim and I went to Disney. And it's cool. It's a magical place. And there's lines and lines and lines of people lined up to go into make-believe little rides. And it's a small world. And, you know, I'm not going to sing it because you'll be gone the rest of the day singing that song in your head. So don't do it. Don't do it. We did go to a new show that's the Frozen sing-along thing, where they sing the songs from Frozen and people belt at the top of their lungs, and it's just like this magical time of girls and little girls, maybe even some men singing. I don't know if that happened or not, but they were really belting out these songs. You know, Let It Snow? No, is it Let It Go? What is that song?
Let It Go.
Let It Go. Don't sing it. It's all good. We'll be stuck with that one too. But there's a thing called a fast pass, right? That you could maybe, if you had the bracelet or get on the thing and you do it right, you can go to this other line over here that's the fast pass line, and you can look at everybody else and kind of smile and walk by. Or you could be in this other line watching them go by and not really like them very much at all. You know, and then you got these two different things, right? But I tell you what, sometimes we are a church, we got the fast pass. We know where we're going. We got the ticket. We got the bracelet. We're wearing the necklace, maybe. Whatever it is, right? We're in the fast pass line. We know where we're going. And so we take our time. We can go over here and look at this, because at 11:30, we get to walk right to the front. And so we don't even care. We're good. We'll walk over here. We'll go over there. And just right on time, we'll get in the fast pass line, walk up and get on. And as a church, we're in the fast pass line, right? We know where we're going. It's been promised and guaranteed and proven. And the fact that Jesus came to answer promises, while he was here, he made promises, died, came back, fulfilled those promises, and then made more promises. And so those promises are things that we can stand on. But there's a whole world around us of 1,000 people that you would run into at the fair. 20 of those people might be fully engaged in church. 200 of those people would have a church experience. The rest of them, no. The numbers are alarming of the folks that don't have any relationship with church. How many people do you think don't have any Christian friends? This is the number that gets me. 40%, 50%, 60%, 70%, do I hear 80%? The number is alarming because churches with the fast pass don't share. They don't say, hey, get in line with me. I got my ticket. So many people today don't have a friend that they identify as a Christian. How can that be? How can that be? So it's a numbers game. But if I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you care? A 10 being that you wake up in the middle of the night crying because your neighbor doesn't know Jesus. That you walk out of the house and all you're thinking about is, who can I love today in the way that Jesus loves me? Who can I share my faith with? Who is going to be different today because of my relationship with God through Jesus? Do we have that thought? Is that us? So we're a 9 or a 10? Or are you a 1 or a 2? We won't go to a 0. You're a Christian, so you're supposed to care. You're being voluntold to care. You have to care for those that are lost. All right? So you've got that going. So you're at least a 1. Are you a 1.2? Let's look at this past week. What did we do? What did we do? So where are you at? 1, 2, 5. We should care. Let me read some verses to you. Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. It says this. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. We've heard this story. Most likely we've heard this story. You know, "I will make you fishers of men." I mean, they're out there, they're doing their job. You know, and "I will make you fishers of men." You know, but let's look at this. Let's talk about this. What does that mean? Follow me. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with everything about you. Follow me. Stop what you're doing. Put down the nets. Put down the computer. Put down the whatever it is. Follow me. All in, all of you, follow me. Love your God with all your heart. And I'll make you fishers of people. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love God. Love your neighbor. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So he started his ministry. The first thing that he did was say, "Love God with all your heart, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, love your neighbor." And the last thing he said, this happened before he was taken up into heaven. The last thing he says, okay, "Therefore go." So how important is evangelism to God? On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard has God been trying to reach out to mankind? How long has he endeavored to establish a relationship, to draw us back to him, to have a healed relationship, to be restored? For as long as it's been recorded, he's been reaching out to man. It's mission critical. So much so that Jesus came. Does our world care about the same things that we do? If you watch the news or read a newspaper or go to a diner, sit down with people that don't go to church and talk to them, do they care about what we care about? Is there any connection there? If they were to come and sit down with us around a coffee table downstairs and listen to our conversation, would we be caring about the things that they care about? Would anything on our list be something that they care about, or vice versa? We care about different things. There's a challenge there. There's a real challenge there. Because what we need to do is know them in a way, understand them in a way, connect with them in a way that we understand what they care about. Not just on paper, not just a list of things they care about, so that as they cry, we cry too. So that as their heart breaks, our heart breaks too. Then and only then will they start to understand what we care about. And ultimately, what should we be caring about? Them. This is not hard math. This is not new math. It's not one of those word problems, but kind of is. Love God, love your neighbor. Follow him, go fishing. We talk a lot about missions here. In fact, we have a meeting after the service today with our Guatemala mission team. And then next Sunday after service, we have a meeting with our mission team that wants to go to Nicaragua. And then Howie's going to be leading a meeting pretty soon for the Mexico team. And we've got a mission that's going to go to Washington County again this summer. And we're going to have teams coming here to Oxford County, working with us here in Mechanic Falls. And so we've got 5 different mission teams that we're building. Why? One, it does good work. But more than that, it puts us in a place where we are on purpose, lined up, geared, prepared, planned, organized, with the sole purpose of reaching out to others, with sharing the gospel. Why do people feel different on a mission trip? It's their purpose for that day. We get up, we have a time together, we have breakfast, and we go to introduce people to the gospel of Jesus. And for a week, we sign up for that. And for a week, we plan, we organize, and we come together, and we travel, and we go through hardship, and we sweat and get dirty. But it's for a week. That's great. But it's not enough. I love missions, but where do we start? We have a leadership fair today. We've got some really cool things that we're going to be talking about, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But here's the truth when it comes to missions. A key right here We have to do missions here. Missions start with you in your heart. Are you lined up in the right place? Are you oriented on building your relationship with Christ? Are you seeking to know Him better, know Him more, understand Him at a greater depth? You need to start a key in here. Open. Ask the questions. Listen for the answer. Do what He says. Ayi, step away. The folks around you, your family, do you have a prodigal in your family? Do you have a sister, brother, son, daughter that knows the gospel but aren't living in that way? What can you do to rebuild that relationship? Not so that it's sitting next to you this morning. Step one, so they're comfortable having a cup of coffee with you. Step one, have a phone conversation. Work to be able to get together. Just hang out, reconnect, understand where they are, what's going on. They already know. The Holy Spirit's already doing the work. You don't have to use any tool to make them feel guilty. You don't have to highlight their sin. You don't have to celebrate all the wrongness that's them and all the goodness that's you. That won't work. Just connect and love in the way that Christ did with you. So there's a key. There's a ye, which is right here, which is our town, which is our community. That when we say the Oxford Advent Christian Church, they say, why do you guys have two churches in town? Because they don't know that we're not the Seventh Day, and we don't know what the Advent is, and they ask questions, and they don't know who we are and what we are, because they don't know. Unconscious incompetence. It's not their fault they don't know. It's kind of our fault. We haven't projected to them that Advent is hope, that we're excited about Jesus coming again. Not so that all the bad people will get taken care of finally. That's not what we're excited about. That's actually really sad. That should be prompting us even more, that they don't know Him. And then there's a Yah over there, away from here. And why is that important? You'll see things when you're outside of your family, outside of your town and community, things that you're comfortable with. You'll see people that look different, have a different set of priorities, have a different way of thinking. It will put things in perspective. Missions makes me feel really small because I think I know so much, but my world is so small. And the need is so big, it's almost daunting. Can you imagine how God would feel looking at the millions and millions and millions of people totally lost, totally devoid of any knowledge of Him, outside of their ability to know Him, because nobody is sharing. Nobody is building that relationship. Nobody is saying, hey, I really care about you. Because I care about you, I want to talk to you about something. Something that's important to me. Can we talk about it? It's got to happen. A key, a ye, a yah. Connection leads to relationships. Relationships lead to understanding. Understanding leads to hearing the truth. We've talked about that before. And when you get to the point where you hear truth from people, that they can share at that level, that's important. Because then, only then, will they hear truth from you. And what is truth? Jesus is the truth and the way. Our Heavenly Father has made the way to Him through a relationship through Jesus. I'm going to share a scary word with you. Discipleship. Discipleship. What does that mean? Does it mean that you have to be disciplined? Nobody likes the word discipline. Nobody likes it. Can we have a volunteer? Where's the volunteerism? Volunteership. That's what I want. I want some volunteership. Just let me pick and choose what it is that I'm going to do, the things that I like. Can I have, you know, crunch berries for breakfast and have it be the vitamins that I need that's over here in that spinach vegetable puree thing? I want the crunch berries, but I want the results of the spinach vegetable thing that I can't swallow. So I'll eat a Flintstone and eat the crunch berries. I'll find a way to, but it's not mission and volunteership. It's not any of that. But missions should lead you to wanting to be more disciplined. And what does that mean? It means more practiced. And what does that mean? It means that you have a plan and a little bit of structure, and that you exercise, and that you're working towards a goal, and that you should be preparing for a race, and that with that you have to map out what that race will be and what you're going to have to do to accomplish that race, and then you're going to do what it takes to be in shape, and you'll train, and you'll eat, and you'll sleep, and you do all the right things to do that. Discipline is identifying a goal and doing things to get there. And so when you're on a mission trip, whether it's to Daddy-O's down the road, whether it's in the school, whether it's with your neighbor or with your sister or your brother, you're on a mission trip. And as you step into that environment, you're going to feel vulnerable. You're going to feel unprepared. You're going to feel not up to the task. Perfect. That's great, because you'll need to rely on God, and you're going to want to know more. You're going to want to be more prepared. So mission should lead you to wanting to be disciplined. It should lead to discipleship. And as you read more and discover more and get better equipped and have better knowledge and really feel comfortable where you're at in your faith, it should be saying, okay, I got to go share this, right? And as you go to share it again, that next environment will make you feel unprepared and not fully equipped and beyond what you can do. And great, perfect, dig back in. More discipleship. So mission leads to discipleship, which leads to mission, which leads to discipleship, and in increasing measure. In increasing measure, you will be equipped and effective. Because remember, right, what does God want? He wants this world to be healed and restored. Healed and restored. So today's application is going to be this. I would like for all of you, in a few minutes, go to the tables we have around the room. We're going to be doing some things this year. Coming up a couple weekends before Christmas, we're going to do a live nativity. What is a live nativity? It's going to be putting on for our community the Christmas story. What is our goal? To have as many people from outside the church experience Christmas. What does that mean? Well, we don't know yet. We need to have some buildings, probably, maybe some animals, maybe a choir singing some music, maybe people in costume. We probably need people to do things along with that event, you know. And so we want to have a nice big event, and so we need people to be a part of a leadership team to develop all that it can be. Not just for this year, but for this year and next year and the year after that. So we become a normal part of this community's Christmas. This past year, it was so sweet. Mary Delameter said, can we do a chowder dinner? And at the chowder, can we just do the story of Jesus? I really feel compelled to do that. It was sweet. But you know what was sweet? Was a little girl that came, because she wanted to see the story of Christmas. She was 3 years old. How old is she? Three? 3 years old. And so mom and dad brought her because we were doing that. That just blows my mind. And they put her in an angel costume, and she got to be an angel in the story itself. And to me, that was super sweet, but can we repeat that? A dozen more kids, families. How big can that be? As big as we have a team to help it be. We're going to do a trunk or treat again. And what is that? Well, we decorate cars, and we invite people from the community in, and we did this past year, and it was good. But how can it be great? We need a team for that. We're going to be hosting a team from Rochester, New Hampshire, coming in to work with us here in Mechanic Falls area to do a mission trip. They're going to be helping us and the Church of Mechanic Falls with the project, and hopefully doing something with some kids in the school. How cool is that? We need a team to help with logistics for hosting that. We're going to take our VBS, our Vacation Bible School, on the road this year. We're going to make it mobile. We're not going to do it here. We're going to do it in some communities. We're going to try and do some really cool things with that. You know, what if we did oil changes for the homes? And what if we did an all-neighborhood capture the flag with parents and kids playing it? We'll have paramedics on the side. It'll be good. It'll be great. You know, but how big can that be? Only as big as the team helping to plan it and organize it. We've got a mission trip to Washington County. We've got, there's so much that we need to have planning teams for. We've got Theo working on community connection. What does that mean? We're working with Community Concepts and Seniors Plus, and we're going to do a bus this fall. We're going to take people to go to a Patriots preseason game, which is pretty cool. But the plan is for half of those tickets that we're going to purchase, go to four different organizations in town to give some tickets to people that they've earned by either reading more with their kids or by volunteering in their neighborhood, and so they put in the volunteer hours so they get these two tickets and a bus ride to a Patriots game. We want to provide half of the tickets that we buy to go to that. The other half will be people in the church. And so on the bus ride down and sitting at the game, we get to know them. We get to hang out with them. We can build a relationship. So we're going to fill a bus to go to a Patriots game, we think. That's what we like to do. But we need a team to work with Theo to pull that off. There's family ministries that are working now, and Community Concepts is coming in and helping to teach parents from outside our church concepts about raising their kids. We're going to be doing role-playing in our Sunday school with parents and kids, too. So there's a lot we're going to do, but we need people because our care level should be so high that we just can't sit here and wait for them to come to us. They're not coming at the rate that we need. They're not knocking down our door because what we have, they need. Because they don't know. Once they do know, they'll come in our doors. But how are they going to know unless we're out there? So we've got lots of tables, lots of things. Where's the plan? I want you to consider being a part of two teams. No more than two. Not 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 teams. Because that would be overload. A primary team and a secondary team. One where you're really invested in leading, one where you're really being a helper. All right? Make sure they're not happening at the same time. But please consider being a part of two of our ministry teams. Okay? So our application is this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? You see, we are called to advance and not sit back in a protected state. What you have, your relationship with Christ, is a commodity that they need. Everything they're chasing is not what they need. What you have is what they need. So, we should evangelize. That's what I think. Hey, worship team, come on up. We'll play a song, we'll smile, we'll laugh, and we'll go sign up. How's that? Is that a good plan? Very good. And the plane, you know, to get where we want to go. But let me tell you, we're landing the plane today. We're going to evangelize. All right? Please. It matters. It matters a ton. And life is short. And you never know when that last chance will have been the last time you saw somebody. And you'll be wishing that you'd taken the time to ask the question. Don't be afraid. God desires restoration and healing. It's okay to want the same thing. And in fact, He'll be right there with you. Let's pray. God, thank You for loving us so much that Your desire is that we are healed and restored, that we know You in an intimate way, that we can make a difference. Thanks for including us. I ask that You, this week, empower us, bless us, create the opportunity and the way, and show Yourself to us in powerful ways. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Get to your tables, folks. They're coming.